This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Danner Boots. At Danner, they believe in the quality of their footwear, and Danner's Trail 2650 hikers are made with the company's tried-and-true standard for durability and comfort. Inspired by and named for the 2,650-mile Pacific Crest Trail, these versatile trainers are built to keep you moving quickly and confidently through any terrain. Crafted with lightweight materials meant to withstand tough conditions, they provide traction and stability on uneven ground. An ultra-lightweight foam midsole cushions the foot and maintains a light load, while the outsole offers confidence-inspiring grip for every step in any condition. Available with breathable mesh lining or waterproof Gore-Tex, the Trail 2650 is up for a variety of landscapes. Whether hitting the trail or strolling through town, these shoes are ready for the rigors and rewards of your next adventure. You can shop Danner's Trail 2650 hikers online at rei.com or through danner.com/trail2650. That's danner.com/trail2650. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. Are you ready to get started?
I think so. As ready as I will be.
How does it feel to be the interviewee versus the interviewer?
Totally weird.
This is Gabacha Moreno. I asked her how it feels to be the interviewee because for the last 6 weeks, she's been the interviewer for a brand new mini-series we're working on called See Us Outside. All four episodes drop in 2 days on the She Explores podcast feed. As the host of the mini-series, Gabacha is our guide in exploring the unique relationships girls and young women of color have with nature and outdoor recreation. Before it launches on December 18th, I want to give you all the opportunity to get to know Gabacha. Mostly because I think she's great. She's always eager to learn. She's deeply considerate of others. And I've realized through editing this episode and reflecting on our time together that working with Gabacha has made me better at what I do. She's the kind of person who rubs off on you. And she couldn't be a better fit for this mini-series. I started off by asking Gabacha a question that sounded much better in my head. The easy first question is, what's your name and... you know, how would you describe yourself a little bit high level?
Ooh.
Oh, maybe that's a hard first question.
I can tell you my name.
The reason it's hard for Gabacha to answer the second part, the describe yourself high level question, isn't just because it's a lot to ask of anyone, to boil themselves down into a sentence or two, but it's also because Gabacha is passionate about so many things. And when she learns about a subject, she doesn't constrain it to its face value.
I'm a person of many different interests, and I've always been like that. So from going to college, I try to always do interdisciplinary programs. So for example, in undergrad, I studied theater, and I did a minor in cultural anthropology and dance. And French language, I guess, too, but not technically. I think I just didn't finish that one, but I just needed one more class or something like that. And then for my master's, I went to school for performance studies, which is in its own self an interdisciplinary program that kind of merges all fields of social studies, I would say, with looking at everything as a performance and the performativity of things.
As you'll hear throughout our conversation, this approach isn't limited to Gabacha's academic life. Her professional background includes everything from retail to restaurants, to improv, to running a swimwear brand. Today she works freelance, writing, design, advising businesses and nonprofits. She also serves as the director of social responsibility on the board of the hiking nonprofit Hiking My Feelings. And Gabacha also hosts and curates the Joshua Tree National Park Association's virtual series called Desert Live, among other projects that align with her love of nature.
So I've just always been this person involved in a million things, doing different things, finding the next thing that I'm going to try out and explore. And when it comes to the outdoors specifically, I just like trying things. So anything that requires being outside, even if it terrifies me, I'll try it once.
As much as she's a fan of multitasking, the outdoors is how Gabacha finds rest too. The one big question I have for you, and this is as someone who struggles with this myself, where do you find rest? It sounds like you have a busy mind and you have a lot of interests that can be very energizing, but there is that need for rest.
Oh, I definitely find it hiking. Obviously on my body, that is tiring, but on my mind, hiking is the most rest that I can have. And I finally came to this conclusion this year, actually, because I went on my first, well, this may count as not hiking because I was backpacking, but to me, it's all hiking. It's just different levels of it. And I went on my first solo backpacking trip and I did the Collegiate West Trail in Colorado, which is a section of both the Colorado Trail and the CDT.
Oh, cool.
And I was just out there by myself for 75 miles and I have never felt so relaxed, so at ease. It was unbelievable. And that's when I realized this is really my break time, my resting time. And I think the key thing there is that it's when I am by myself, you know, hiking by myself or now also backpacking by myself.
How often do you get to do it?
I'm trying to do it once a week, which has been really nice.
This calm that Gabacha finds in nature today near her home in Santa Fe took root in her childhood, growing up in Veracruz, a seaport on the east coast of Mexico.
It's interesting because growing up, I spent a lot of time outside. That was just, I never even thought of it as an additional effort that had to be done or something. You know, like this idea or this concept of being outdoorsy, I don't think it really existed for me until I moved here. It was just part of our lives. My dad grew up hunting and fishing, so he always just loved nature and animals, and I'm pretty sure he wanted to go to school to be a vet, but I don't know what happened there. Then he ended up being an engineer, but he was always involved in doing several things just with the local government in terms of helping them with rescuing animals from the black market and rehabilitating animals and relocating animals when they became an issue for agriculture folks and things like that. So that was just always part of my life. And because where I lived, we had a lot of land. We would also take in a lot of those rescue animals. So we always had, people always said that I lived in a zoo because we had anywhere from anteaters to toucans and peacocks and just always like alligators, just always random animals hanging out in the house. We had pet deer. So that those were my, you know, we had dogs and we had deer and they all lived together in the yard and they ate tortillas and everybody who came to my house got to feed the deer tortillas. And that was kind of like a highlight. So I didn't really understand how privileged that was until obviously later in my life as I started realizing how little access to the outdoors there actually is for most folks, just because in my life, it was just always there. And my dad was always, you know, looking for a new adventure and taking us to different ranches and teaching us about plant ID and animal tracking and all those things that for me, they were just fun things that we did with my dad. And then on top of that, for many periods of time, like we grew things, and like I know we used to grow hibiscus and watermelon and as a business. So we would go to the fields and learn about that and get to see what that process was like. So we in many ways, I was always involved in resource management and conservation, because that's, I mean, that was the biggest thing with my dad being a hunter, is that hunting is conservation. You don't just come and take whatever comes in front of you. You meet an animal, and if they have a life to live, you let them live that life, and then you give them the most honorable death that you can.
Gabacho was unique in her family in that she was born in San Antonio, Texas, and she holds U.S. citizenship here. So after a stint in fashion school in Mexico City, she decided to challenge herself by attending college in the United States. I was curious how her relationship with nature changed when she moved stateside. Gabacho shared that she's noticed a lot more infrastructure here in our state and national parks, in contrast to the land preserve that her family manages in Mexico, but that this infrastructure comes at a heavy price. Gabacho explains.
I didn't do much outdoorsy stuff, quote unquote, mostly because I feel like maybe I just was too much outside in my childhood, that I just wanted to live in the big city. So I lived in LA and New York and whatnot, and really stayed in the city and did all the city things. But when I started going to Joshua Tree National Park, and I became super infatuated with the fact that there's a national park system and that people can have jobs working as a park ranger. And these are, you know, in my perspective, oh my gosh, these are the coolest jobs in the world. And how cool that conservation is a field so developed and so rich. And, you know, so I'm seeing all these positive things about it. But in time, as I started learning more of the history behind how the conservation movement really got started and how that heavily has equated with the removal of indigenous peoples from their land and how limited access they really have to their traditional ways of being with the land just from those removals, that has really complicated my relationship with the outdoors and with the conservation movement. I'm not saying that conservation is a bad thing, but I am saying that the foundation of these ideologies and institutions that we subscribe to are really important to know and are really important to dismantle when they haven't been founded on equity and inclusivity and diversity. And I would say, and embracing diversity, right? So that's been quite complicated, but I feel like there are many actions that we can take into what we call land back and what we call equity. And I think that whenever we're talking about the outdoors, whenever we're talking about recreating on our lands, we have to acknowledge that these lands are stolen, but that they're rightful people who are the original land managers are still here, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be part of this conversation. And so I hope that as we grow as a conservation community, as a recreation community, we start figuring out ways in which we can right those wrongs of our predecessors in the conservation movement. There's something that I always say, that before these lands needed to be preserved, they were sacred because people understood the delicate balance that nature requires and that nature carries. So as much as we love being land stewards and protectors or whatever, we have to understand that that is a need that comes from colonization. It wouldn't be necessary if we were all living in balance with the land.
On the whole, we're not living in balance with nature here in the U.S., and it's something that Gabacha thinks about a lot.
Having that easy access to so much nature here has opened my eyes more to, A, the benefits of having that accessibility, and it's easy to understand that you are one in a million people that are going to be here. And then lastly, just the delicate balance that having that accessibility actually means for us and the responsibility that that puts on us as visitors to these spaces.
Having had these experiences has culminated in a life philosophy for Gabacha, Exploring Responsibly, which she's turned into an interview series.
You know, I say that life is an exploration, whether it's outside or inside or however you want to define it for yourself. But I started using the hashtag Exploring Responsibly a couple years ago as a way to, I always say I do things to trap myself into reminding the things that are important to me. And I know that acting with a sense of responsibility is very important to me. I want to be held accountable for the things that I mess up. I want to be mindful about the spaces that I come in contact with. I want to learn about the Native people of the places I go, because that's also been another big part of learning about the United States and kind of connecting to my citizenship here. Yeah, so I think one day I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, what are other ways in which I can take this hashtag of mine of exploring responsibly and make it more of a community space so that other people see that exploring responsibly is a cool thing to do. You know, it's not just me being a Debbie Downer of like, oh, if it's fun, it's illegal, you shouldn't be doing it here, or we shouldn't have our dogs here, or, you know, things like that. Mm. That sometimes I get it. People in our own entitlement, we think that we are above the rules or the regulations or the law, and we don't see the fact that we are the one in a million, and we think it's okay for us to do this one thing that is specifically stated that it's not allowed and that it shouldn't be done. And so as a person that's always trying to share with other folks, you know, friendly reminders whenever possible of what the regulations are in the spaces where we recreate, you know, and you get tons of different reactions to that, but a lot of them are defensive or stressful or conflictive. So, you know, I've learned a lot in my own ways of kind of being a land steward and finding the balance between trying to get people who are already on the trail to care a little bit more if it seems like they're skipping some of the rules. And so, yeah, I came up with this idea that, okay, why don't I just hop live on Instagram to have conversations with folks around exploring responsibly, whatever that means to them and in whichever ways they apply it to their lives.
The openness of this, creating space to think through and deconstruct what it means to explore responsibly, is so welcoming, so needed, and so Gabacha. We'll hear more from Gabacha and learn about See Us Outside, our new mini-series launching on Friday, after this. Whenever I need a midweek reset, I lace up my hiking shoes, my Danner Trail 2650s, and I jump in my car to drive a relaxing 10 minutes to right here, my favorite trailhead in southern Maine. Looking up at old-growth pine and hemlock trees, I feel energized in a way that I sometimes struggle to access at home in front of my laptop. The trail is just a 2-mile loop, but I'm never bored. Maybe it's the ever-changing flow of the tidal river or the surprise of spotting a cellar hole in the woods. The Danner Trail 2650s are inspired by the Pacific Crest Trail. Its 2,650 miles provides a staggering variety of terrain over its epic expanse. And when we're in front of ever-changing trails, you need your shoes to be able to step up to the challenge. Built to move quickly and confidently through the terrain of your choosing, the Trail 2650 can easily fill the role of a hiker or trainer. For Danner, this meant looking to lightweight materials that could withstand the demands of the trail, like an ultra-lightweight faux midsole, while still keeping comfort and stability in mind. As much as I dream, I may never hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail, but the more I set out on midweek resets, the closer I feel to nature, and the more I plan for those longer hikes and adventures. And either way, I'll feel confident with a pair of Danner Trail 2650s on my feet. You can shop Danner's Trail 2650 hikers online at REI or via danner.com/trail2650. That's danner.com/trail2650. We're back. As we heard earlier in the episode, Gabacho works on a lot of projects, both as a freelancer and in her spare time. And much of her work is about expanding the conversation around conservation and public lands to be more inclusive and tell a deeper story of what it means to recreate here. Her work with the Desert Institute at Joshua Tree is a great example.
So the Desert Institute is a field institute that's ruled by the nonprofit partner of Joshua Tree National Park. So they offer anything from science classes to art classes, but everything or most things happen in the park or around the public lands of the area.
She's been volunteering with them for several years now, and since moving from California to Santa Fe, has been able to expand on that work remotely through a series called Desert Live.
So we started talking about doing different programming and what that could look like. And so eventually they hired me to create the series of events that were supposed to happen in the park in 2020. But as we all know, the beginning of 2020 hit us with some hard news that COVID is real and we cannot just be doing so many in-person things. So we eventually just evolved that into an online series, which was really cool because at this time now I'm living in New Mexico and it all seemed like if these events would have happened in the park, I would have had very minimal involvement other than curating the series and like enabling communications with the presenters and the leaders of the different workshops. But since it ended up being remote, then I got to kind of be the host of that. And we set up a lineup of diverse folks that just brought their own talents and expertise into the conversation. And what was really cool was that now, because we weren't confined to the space of Joshua Tree National Park, we were actually able to have guests that have never even been to Joshua Tree National Park, but that also have very important messaging and are leading great conversations that are useful for anyone in the outdoor community. Mm-hmm. And one of those examples would be Christy Drupman from Brown Girl Green. She did an event about nearby nature, and I'm still inspired by this event because it was just beautiful to be in community, and she guided us through some exercises to connect with the nature that's immediately around us. And we got to talk about, you know, how urban planning of places, it's very how you can see basically discrimination is already in the urban plans of different cities. And you can see that just by spotting the green spaces that are available and where they are available. So Christy was great. And she just gave us so much food for thought. And it was really awesome to also see the community from the desert responding to that and acknowledging how that translates into their own communities. So that's, I mean, that's in a nutshell or one example of some of the work that I've been able to do that's really inspiring. And that, you know, even though like the Desert Life series, or at least season one, how I call it, it's done. And we're now in the process of gathering funding for potentially another season. It's still a driving force in what I do. And it's such a big privilege to have the stage and to be able to invite friends from all backgrounds to share what they know and share their experience. And also to know that the Desert Institute is really open and receptive of any ideas into making the space more inclusive and more accessible. So we definitely learn a lot with season one. And I have many, many thoughts about how to continue to make it more accessible and more inclusive if we were to do that again in the future.
This passion for accessibility and inclusivity shows up in all of the work Gabacha does, including our upcoming mini-series made in collaboration with the Karen Project, See Us Outside. So See Us Outside, what initially got you interested in being a part of this mini-series?
Well, you got me, Ad. We are highlighting organizations breaking down barriers of access for young women of color.
Felt close to your heart.
Yes, as easy as that. I think in our conversation, I've mentioned how I've been extremely privileged in always having this access. And I feel the benefits of having had that life. And to me, is of most importance that other folks have the exact same opportunity, whether they take it or not, just knowing that they have it.
So having worked on the series, like, you know, a bit or a lot about like what's to come for the listeners, how would you describe the series?
I think See Us Outside is an exploration of our relationships with nature as women, and specifically as women of color. And it dives into all the layers and the complexities that that actually entails. There's a lot of history that comes through. There's a lot of fear that comes through. There's a lot of anxiety and tension and joy and community. The beautiful layering of these relationships that women of color have with nature, it really shines through the series, I believe. And then having or hearing about the support that these organizations and the role that these organizations are playing for enabling that, it's super empowering.
The four organizations featured in the miniseries are Brown Girl Surf, Women's Wilderness, Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, and Young Women Who Crush. All four have received small grants from the Karen Project, a nonprofit that we're collaborating with to make the series happen. One thing we want to clarify when we talk about the series is that when we talk about women and girls of color, that's inclusive of cis and trans women and girls, as well as people from all gender identities who feel comfortable in spaces that center women. And when you tune into the series, it's worth noting that when we talk about gender, we do so most often in a way that centers women and girls, in a more heteronormative, binary way. Something that Gabacha has found is that just as she can't sum up her essence in a few high-level sentences, you know, at the start of the episode when I asked her to do that, neither can we summarize the series, and nor should we. So it is super layered and like woven together, but I hope that there's a feeling that folks are left with, you know, with you as the guide, and that there's also hopefully these touch points that feel familiar in certain ways for people who are listening.
Yeah, no, that's ringing close to home right now, because I was just yesterday, I was reviewing episode 4 and trying to conclude something from the series. And I realized how it was really difficult to unpack that layering, that complexity of our relationships with nature. So we're really just scratching the surface with the series, but I think it's a great departure point for more work like this to get done, not just in organizations that are like the organizations that we talk about. They're all very committed to supporting the youth, but I feel like every single organization can learn from them in how to create safer and inclusive spaces.
Oh, absolutely. When you look back at those conversations that you had, so Gavacha as host, you had, I think you did 8 or 9 different interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any conversations or slices of conversations that you felt like you particularly related to?
Honestly, every single conversation was so amazing on its own. I felt, this has been such a beautiful ride, because having this opportunity of being energized by women doing this fabulous work in the space of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice, specifically for the outdoors, it left me, every conversation left me energized and inspired to do more. So that's, I just want to get that out there. Like, seriously, every single conversation was unbelievable, both with the white women that I got to talk to that are part leaders of these organizations, and with the women of color that are also leaders in these organizations. But two conversations in particular where I really connected were, one, the conversation with Cristal Cisneros, because I think we have several things in common, both being from Mexican families and also with her experience having a white boyfriend. That's something that I kind of relate to in a different way, but I could understand her from that perspective. And then the other conversation was with Christy Peoples. And Christy was amazing because she keeps bringing up this idea of doing your own thing, however you do it, and embracing it and finding joy and celebrating yourself and however you're adventuring and however you're pushing your own limits and however you're challenging yourself. So that was a really refreshing conversation. And those two have really carried with me throughout.
Coincidentally, both Cristal and Christy are instructors with Women's Wilderness's Trailblazer program, an outdoor wilderness program for and run by women of color. I was curious which organization stood out for Gavacha in her interviews as well.
I admire all of their work, but in particular, I think the Charles Roundtree Bloom Project is serving a community that I don't see or hear or know that they're being served enough. And so the Bloom Project serves youth that have incarcerated parents or relatives. And for me, well, when I was in college, I worked with youth a lot, and when I graduated, I continued to work with mostly refugee children. And so I've been in many spaces where the youth have had these kind of experiences, and nobody is really equipped to help them or to be able to have an effective conversation or relationship with them, or just having an understanding with them, you know? So I feel like the way that the Bloom Project has taken this community and, or actually turned it into a community, you know, saying, hey, we are here together. We've all been through something similar. That's not an easy thing to go through. That's not that's not a great thing to go through, but we can come together, we can create and find joy, and we can heal together, and we can use nature and those connections as our tool. I just feel like that's, to me, that has been deeply moving to know that this space exists and it continues to get shaped by that community.
The importance of community is a running theme throughout the series, as all four organizations that are highlighted work really hard to create safer spaces to experience the outdoors. I asked Gabacho what the series title, See Us Outside, means to her. But before I share her answer, I want to take a moment to share a sneak preview of the opening voice collage. It's really, really beautiful.
See Us Outside. Vernos afuera.
Capnyao ben wai.
Voyez-nous dehors.
Nos veja la fora.
Dingdan mukami salabas.
Hame bahar dekhiye.
Keen aw hey chipping.
See us outside.
Here's Gabacha.
I think See Us Outside is a great reminder for folks to actually see us. I feel like a lot of the time in the outdoor narrative or conversation, we hear this thing where nature is colorblind, nature doesn't see color, or it doesn't matter. But I think it matters. It matters to see the color. It matters to understand what carries with that color. And it matters to acknowledge when you don't see it too much, right? When you don't see it enough, and question that. So I think See Us Outside in many ways is notice when we are there, but also notice when we are not. And that's where I hope folks will be inspired to take action and support organizations like Women's Wilderness, Young Women Who Crush, The Bloom Project, Brown Girl Surf, that are doing this very important work so that we can be seen. Because the more that we are seen, the more of us that are going to feel comfortable being out there, and the more of us that are going to feel welcome out there.
This mini series is powerful, and I can't wait for you all to tune in on Friday. But before we sign off for today, I want to share one more project that Gabacha is a part of that's helping to transform the future of the outdoors.
So something I'm really excited about is this work that I just started getting involved with through Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project, which is an organization, a nonprofit organization based in New Mexico. And they are working with a collective of BIPOC-led groups on a national outdoor equity initiative, such as Latino Outdoors, Outdoor Afro, Native Women's Wilderness, the Continental Divide Trail Coalition is also involved, amongst many other organizations that are led by Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So this project is called Outdoor Future. And FUTURE stands for Fund for Underserved Tribal, Urban, and Rural Equity. And what this aims to do is to create more opportunities in the future for youth to have meaningful outdoor opportunities. I can't give away everything because our press release is coming out in the next couple of days, but I would say that this is a huge movement and motion in the direction that it feels like everybody is really committed to move into for the outdoors, for recreation, for conservation. So I will say stay tuned, and you can visit nuestra-tierra.org. to find out more when everything is released. You can also follow Nuestra Tierra on Instagram at Nuestra Tierra NM. and be on the lookout for some big news of initiatives led by BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and People of Color that will have a huge impact on the future of all our children.
Thank you so much to Gabacha for your time and collaboration. You can learn more about the Outdoor Futures Project, as well as all the other projects Gabacha is working on, via the links in our show notes. You can find Gabacha on social media via her name, at Gabacha, G-A-B-A-C-C-I-A. And See Us Outside, our mini-series in collaboration with the Karen Project, drops on Friday, right here on the She Explores feed. This is the last episode of She Explores for 2020, the longest, shortest year on record. I know a lot of you probably don't hang in there through the credits, but for those that do, this message is for you. Okay, I took you all outside for this end of the year message. This is the last episode of She Explores for the year. Wow, I don't know, everyone's talking about 2020, what a year it's been. So I feel like I don't need to bore you with all that, but I do want to say I really appreciate you being here. We've put out a lot of episodes, and I imagine that you have not listened to all of them. So if you look back and you scroll through the feed, I imagine there's more to be found there, more that you might want to listen to. A few episodes that come up for me that really speak to the year. I don't know. I think there's the episode on COVID-19 and the outdoors. It's still very, very relevant in terms of how we should be recreating this year and into the new year. I also really, really enjoyed interviewing a couple of people who were associated with Black Birders Week. One of them was Danielle Bellamy and the other was Nicole Jackson. Both of those interviews came out in June or July. They're truly beautiful. And then just recently, the two-part series on plus-size snow gear. I think that if you're not plus-size, especially, it's really illuminating. Maybe I'm biased because I'm not plus-sized, but I really appreciate the work that both of the women are doing who are featured within that two-part series. And then what we have coming up, you know, you heard about it through the interview with Gabacha, but I'm truly excited about releasing the See Us Outside mini-series. All four episodes launch on Friday, and they're sure to keep you company over the holidays and into the new year. I haven't gotten outside in the way that I would like to this year, but I still feel close to all of you and close to the parts of myself that are truly nurtured by time outside, and I feel deeply appreciative of that today. So, you know, as I started off this message, thank you for being here, and I look forward to what we create in 2021. Okay, I'm not sure when the podcast will be back. It'll likely be February sometime, but you never know. So until then, take care, keep learning, stay curious, and you know where to find me, the She Explores podcast Facebook group. I wish you good health and lots of rest. Thank you to all our sponsors in 2020 and to Danner for supporting this episode. You help make this work possible, and it means so much to us. You can find She Explores on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Gail Straub. If you enjoy listening, there are lots of different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explores podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is licensed through MusicBed. She Explores is hosted and produced by me, Gail Straub, and is a production of Ravel Media released on Wednesdays. Until next year.